for your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your word will just be illuminated to us today. Amen. And that we will leave this place blessed and refreshed and changed. Yes. In Jesus' name. If you'd open up your Bibles to Book of Romans, chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. Talking about the love of God today. The love of God today. 13, 8 through 14. Love for the day is near. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this, just this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So when we walk in love, we fulfill the whole law. God is love. He loves us. And as we draw close to him and we accept his love and we let his love permeate us, then our natural response is that we will be people that are able to walk in love, to move in love, to react in love. And as we all know, it's not always so fluffy and floaty and easy to be loving all the time and just to react in love for in every situation. And you know, I mean, there's just times where people just want, you know, you just feel like choking them and killing them, and you know, this is our challenge of our life, is how do we grow in love, love God, have him permeate in us, so that we can literally face the challenges and all the things that the enemy puts in our way. The offenses of someone said this or someone said that, and we go, oh, I hate them. That's it for them. You know, instead, as the love of God permeates within us, then we have a loving response and a loving action. We are changed. And that takes time to grow in love. It takes time to become like Christ. It takes time to walk in the example of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus, his life was love and grace and mercy. When he came, when he hit the scene, it was love, grace, and mercy. All the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the wouldn't sees and the couldn't sees, they were out judging and condemning and hating and bitter and all this. Crazy stuff. And Jesus came with a new thing, with a new law. He came with all those laws that the Jews were abiding by, the 666 laws and rituals and all that. And Jesus came with the law of love. The law of love. Love, walk in love, be love. That's all I have to do? Jesus said that sums up the whole law. That sums up the whole law. Well, they couldn't handle that. Are you kidding me? Love. You know, we're used to religion. Love. Love. It's a challenge. It's a challenge to stay in love. But the word does say that it, as much as it depends upon us, keep the unity of the bond of peace, as much as it depends upon us. That takes years to get to, don't you think? When somebody betrays you and talks bad about you, and you do everything on your end to keep the bond of peace through love, you do everything on your... What does that require? That requires someone who has died to their self, has died to their pride, who has submitted to the word and submitted to the Lord. How can we do that? How can we love our enemies? How can we do that? Jesus says, love your enemies. Love. It never fails. 1 Corinthians 13, 8. Love never fails. Love never fails. Love never, ever, ever fails. It never fails. Hate fails, anger fails, bitterness fails. It all fails. But love never
fails. You never go wrong if you react in love of God. It never, never fails. So don't go to bed angry. This is a big thing. The Bible says don't go to bed angry. I want to talk to you couples out here. Don't go to bed angry. We live in a spiritual warfare. Do not go to bed angry. And there's a reason that the Word says this. There's a reason the Word says everything. So the way not to go to bed angry is to have humility. You cannot apologize if you don't have humility. But if you do go to bed angry, this is what happens when you go to bed angry with your spouse. That's it. Close the door. You go in one room, you go in the other room. If you go to bed angry, then you open up doors for spirits of strife to come in. And through the night, there are spiritual forces that will speak evil things about your spouse that are not real and that are dramatic. And so you wake up worse than you started out. It is a spiritual principle. Everything in the Word is true. Do not keep Stay in love. Stay in love. Walk in love as much as you can, as much as it depends upon you. Now, it doesn't always depend upon you. And everybody in the world has their free choice to do what they want to do and disobey the Word of God. But you have a choice, and you can as a Christian, to make a choice to walk in love, to stay in unity, in the bond of peace, as much as it depends upon you. What brings to mind, I was thinking about a woman in our church who just betrayed us and stabbed us in the back and turned on us. She loved us for years, and all of a sudden, there was just this big giant betrayal. I mean, it was so shocking, and so my husband and I did everything we could to keep the unity of the bond of peace, everything we could, sending her love cards, trying to call her and doing everything that we could on our end to make reconciliation. Do that if you can. And I remember I brought flowers and so I said, let's bring her flowers. And I drove up to her house, and here I'm running with the flowers. And she saw me, and she was driving into her garage. I'm running with the flowers, and the garage door closes on me. And I got the rejection, and I put the flowers down and went back, and we tried some more times, and she finally said, "Do not ever call me again or do anything to me again." I'm like, yes, that's fine, and that's on her. That's not on us. We do everything we can. Now, is it easy to love someone when they're hurting you? No, it is not easy, but do everything that you can, and then guess what? The good news is, then you are blessed, and you are free, and the showers of blessing can come on you, and the others that walk in a bitterness and a hate and offense and all that craziness, well, that's what they have. They have all the tormentors of the devil coming upon them, and that's what they have to live with. But you get to walk free, you get to walk in love, you get to walk blessed, because you obey the Word of God. It pays to obey the Word of God, because those love seeds, everything that you do, is going to come back on you in different ways. Love seeds. There's nothing you give to God or you surrender to God that is not going to come back on you. And you may not know what it is that comes back on you, whether it is your child gets saved, you don't know. Or your child could have been killed and God, said, "They're walking in my ways. I'm bringing a blessing. I'm bringing a deliverance to that one. I'm going to bless them because they're walking in my ways." God blesses those people that are walking in His ways, and He brings special favors, and that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. Those that love Him and give to Him and surrender for Him and sacrifice to Him and take their persecution like a strong soldier, God is going to come with special blessings. That's a guarantee. And just to reiterate, walking in love, staying in love. We had a young girl, a teenage girl, and her brother came to her one morning, and they were fighting. And he was 16 years old, and she was about 13 or so. I'm not really sure of the ages, but they started to fight. And this girl said to her brother, "I wish you were dead." And she left angry, and he left angry. And that day he died in school, dead. No health reason. Dropped dead in his high school. And that girl had to live with that. I'll tell you the torment that she still struggles with that. This is years ago. And that girl had to live with that. And we counseled that. And we dealt with that. And we prayed with that. We prayed over and over again for that. You don't want to leave anybody you love in a spirit of hate and anger. Walk in love always. Leave in love. Say goodbye, I love you, as if you'll never see that person again. Walk in love. Hard to do, but it can be done. We've been hearing this all. There's like three other situations. A father, we heard his daughter who had became a stripper, and she came to visit her father, and she knocked on the door, and she came in. She had a Father's Day gift. It was on Father's Day, and he said, "Get out of here, go away," and she committed suicide after that. And at the funeral, a lady came up and said, "I just want to say that your daughter ministered the love of Jesus to me and touched my life." And that man has to suffer that. Walk in love. Be in peace. As much as it depends upon you, this is what Jesus says for us to do. Love. Love never fails. Let's say, love never fails. Again, love never fails. And it is such a struggle for us to be disciplined, to get to know God, to sit at his feet, to allow his love to come and saturate us. I'm doing Children's Wednesday night Bible study, and my grandson Jimmy, who's five, and he, it was this most horrendous start. You know, everybody was crazy and fighting and all this stuff. And my grandson Jimmy says, "This is boring. I do not want to be here. I don't want to listen to the lesson." I said, "You better suck it up, because this is your life forever. You're called to preach. You better start liking this stuff." And so what was so funny about it. So during the course of the lesson, actually I'm giving them the same lesson on love, the same scriptures that I'm going to give you. That's why I gave to them, so I didn't have to do, you know. So here he is. He had to be disciplined by his mother first, and then he came back in. And so I'm going to read the scripture that I read to them, that I'm going to read to you, and it was about Mary with pouring the perfume at Jesus' feet. And so he was just like, you know, soaking it up, like, wow, whoa, whoa, you know. And that, for a teacher, you know, those are the moments in the ministry where you're like, wow, you're actually like imparting like real spiritual food into a little person's heart, you know, because he's called to be a preacher. And you know, you see them soaking it in. Those are some of the blessings that you get when someone gets it. And he told me that was the most wonderful story. You know, when we start out, "I don't want to do this, I'm bored." But isn't that the way we are? I don't feel like coming to church. I don't feel like coming to church. I don't feel like reading the word. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like doing it. And we don't feel like doing it. Our flesh doesn't feel like putting in that effort. But when we do, we go, "Oh, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful?" This week in my craziness, I just laid before the Lord one time, and I was like, you know, I hadn't kind of done that in a long time. Would just lay down and soak at his feet. And he came with such a refreshing blessing. And I said, "Lord, why don't I do this more often? It just takes the discipline to do it." But if we do it, if we come to church without feeling like it, and we do it anyway, and we come out soul winning, and we don't feel like it, but we do it anyway, there's always a blessing in it. So we can break through that feeling thing. Oh, thank you. Discipline. Without discipline, there's no success in life. An undisciplined person has absolutely no success in life. Correct? What is discipline? Discipline is doing that which we don't want to do, but we do it anyway. Right? That's discipline. We don't want to do, but we do it anyway. So so I don't want to do this, I don't feel like doing this, I don't want to do that, I don't feel like cleaning the house, I don't feel like going to work, I don't want to do this. Now, an undisciplined person would just say, I'll just lay here on the couch, you know, I don't want to do anything because I don't want to do it. A disciplined person is going to do that, which they don't want to do, but they do it anyway because they're disciplined. That's discipline. That goes for so much of our lives, working, playing, house, praying, going to church, going to outreaches. And it is amazing about going to outreaches. We get attacked initially about going to outreaches. I don't feel like going to outreach. I got a headache. I all of a sudden, I'm so tired before the outreach that there's no way the prayer meeting is the worst. The prayer meeting is the worst. Even my husband, he's like, every time it's a prayer meeting, I mean, he goes into, he's like, he's drugged and he goes to sleep, you know. I mean, he always went to prayer meeting, but it was like, isn't this amazing? Because he's not a nap person, but on prayer meeting, he gets real tired and falls out asleep. And right before doing something that's important in any shape or form to the heavenly kingdom, there's an obstacle. So that's why we have to be disciplined, because if we just obey, I feel this, I don't feel like it, oh, okay. You know, if we move and flow with that, then nothing is going to happen for us. So discipline, and know that there's every obstacle to everything that we're walking into good. And I just want to brag a little bit about Gina. You know, our flesh says, I don't want to love my enemies. I don't want to do good to those who hate me. What kind of crazy thing is that? I don't want to love my enemies. I don't want to do good to those who hate me. I mean, who likes to love their enemies? Anybody like, you love to love your enemies? Gina, Melissa's daughter, she's going to be seven, and her sister who has a friend, and her name is Summer, and there's Alicia, and they're friends, and Gina was friends with them all, and so Summer is having a birthday party and invited Alicia but did not invite Gina. And she even told Alicia, do you like your sister, you know? And Alicia said, yes, I like my sister. So Summer's rejected Gina, and so Gina's birthday party is coming around, and so she said, well, I'm not going to invite Summer. You know, she didn't invite me. And she said, well, yeah, maybe I will invite Summer. And maybe I'll just give an invitation but make it like really ugly invitation. So then she thought, she said, no, I'm going to give her a pretty invitation. And so she invited Summer, and Summer was like shocked. She got an invitation. She's rejecting her. Isn't that... that's love. That's how we need to be. Isn't that cool that she has that at that young age? You know, most of us say, she's rejecting me, I'm going to reject her. You know, I mean, that's walking in love. It's a beautiful thing. But we're going to look at some of the servants in the Bible. And I'd like to look at these two servants that were friends of Jesus. And what do you think a friend is? What is a friend? And I want you to be thinking about, what is a friend and what does a friend do? What is a friend? I want you to think about your friends. What is a friend and what does a friend do? A friend, if it's a real friend, they're going to spend time with you and have a relationship with you. If it's a real friend, they're going to give you gifts. They're going to be there, spiritually. They'll pray for you. A real friend, if a tragedy hits your life, they'll be right there by your side if a tragedy hits your life. Did you know that in your life, you only have a very few friends? If you think about who's your real friends, there's only a very few friends, just a few, that love you, care for you. So a real friend would be someone who you would have a conversation with, they would have a conversation with you. It's not just, let me take all from you and that's it, and you know. You know, a real friend is give and take, you know, sharing, giving and taking and helping and being there for trials. Jesus had very few friends in his ministry, very few friends. If a real friend is going to stick by you in a trial, then Jesus had very few friends, just like we do. John 12, 1 through 7, I want to read that. And we're going to read about a true friend of Jesus. True friend of Jesus. And I love this story. This is one of my most favorite stories in the Bible. This is the story where my grandson went, wow. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethlehem where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples said, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected, why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a whole year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as a keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor with me, but you will not always have me. So Mary, out of the passion and love in her heart, she took a perfume that was like a whole year's, think about how much you work in a year, and she poured this on his feet because her love for him was so intense and so passionate, and it was revealed to her who this amazing King Jesus, who was sitting before her feet, that he was God, he was come to save the world. She knew it. She so loved him that she poured it on his feet in such love. She passionately loved him. She was a friend of Jesus. And so many around, they were so blinded by who he was. He was just an ordinary man. He was a despised man. He was somebody to be killed. He was really not that special. But to her, she was so touched. But they couldn't see his glory. But she was a friend to Jesus. And I want to ask you today, and I want you to be thinking about it. Are you a friend to Jesus? Are you a friend to Jesus? Do you love Jesus? John 15:15 says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you to go to bear fruit that will last. Then my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name, and this is my commandment, to love each other. This is my commandment, to love each other. God is calling us to be love vessels in this time, to love each other. I want to talk about another friend of Jesus, someone who stood by Jesus in John 19:25. Thank you, Jesus. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. John loved Jesus. He was the only disciple that stood at the cross. In Jesus' time of trouble, he was there. He stood at the cross. He risked his life to stand at the cross. That's why all the other disciples fled and went. But he was there. He was a true and faithful friend. He was a friend to Jesus. And some people I've heard say about John, because John says, John, I'm John, the one that Jesus loves, the beloved John, the one that Jesus loves, the one that Jesus loves. And some say, oh, John had issues. I don't think John had issues. How would you feel If all of your other friends left you and one of your friends stayed with you, would you not favor and really love passionately that friend? Would you not be so excited about that friend who stayed there and really laid down his life for Jesus just by standing at the cross? No, John knew he was loved. You know you love your friends that stick by you. And you know when you go through trials, the ones that leave you and just could care less about you, and the ones that stand by your side and cry with you. Don't tell me you don't appreciate that person, that loyal friend. You do. A friend of Jesus. As those of us that are walking in love, what do we do if we walk in love? How do we change if we walk in love? We don't badmouth our friends. We're able to love our friends, not badmouth our friends. We can see all their sins and faults, but we overlook them and we love them and we look at the best in our friends and we love them. So many people get so touchy-uchy, somebody's doing this, da-da-da-da-da, and there's so much division and so much. It needs not be. Love. Love. And treasure the friends, treasure the family, and treasure the friends that God has given you. Everyone has been given a circle of friends. Everyone has been given a family and friends that are by your side. Be faithful and loving and treasure those friends and keep the unity of the bond of peace. That takes work and effort, but we can do it through Jesus. And we cannot control anybody's behavior. We cannot dictate what they do. They can do anything they want to do. That is their choice in God. But we can walk in love. John 14, 22 through 24 says, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching." So he who does not love me will not obey my teaching. And don't we see that? I mean, who obeys this teaching, you know? I mean, just Christians, only Christians that love God can obey this teaching. And some of us so struggle, and please listen to this, some of us so struggle with the love of our Father because we've been so damaged in our past, and we come from parents who didn't love us. We come from sexual abuse and verbal abuse and abandonment. People are orphaned. So a lot of us have this distorted view of our Father, and so the Father's love is blocked in our lives, and it takes taking time with the Lord for him to do the reconstruction, for him to do the surgery, which could take many, many years to do the surgery so that we can get those things out of us. And oftentimes what happens with the abuses that go on is we get to think God is, you know, we hate God and we have this anger and bitter against God, and whether it's conscious or unconscious, it's there, and it's a blockage of even the Father's love. So even today, I just want to pray that those blockages, you know, and it doesn't happen just in a, you know, in a meeting. It can, but as we go on and we take the time to say, God, ask him what you want. Take the time and say, God, this is how I feel. This is how I am. This is what happened to me. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to ask you to come and heal me, and let him do surgery on you. Not in a church service, at home. Let him do the surgery on you. Take the time. Take the discipline. Yes, it takes discipline. Yes, it does. I understand that. But we can do it. We can break through every obstacle. And we can take the time to get those things done. Because if we don't get inner healing, we're not gonna feel the Father's love. And we're not going to be vessels of the Father's love. That's just the reality of it. That's why inner healing is so incredibly important, because if we are sick in our soul, then we are thwarted in everything that God's plan has for us to do. And he has a plan and purpose for every single Christian on the earth. And I want to read to you, I'm going to end with this. John 15, 16. Oh, I read that already, but I'm going to read it again. We need to hear it again. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. And this is my commandment, to love each other. Everybody say, love each other.
Love each other.
Love each other.
Love each other.
Love each other. Love never fails.
Love never fails.
Love God and love those God has placed in your life. Love, 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 love. Love. Grow in love. Walk in love. Grow in love. Grow in love. Each year, be more loving, be more loving, be more loving, be more merciful, be more graceful, be more patient, be more kind, be quicker to forgive, quick to forgive. I'm offended, I forgive. I'm not for my own benefit going to get offended, walk away, be bitter for my own benefit, because I want to be blessed. 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 And I'm going to obey the word and be blessed. Love. Close your eyes. Would you, everybody, close your eyes. Lord, we just pray for the Father's love. The Father's love to flow even now, to bring comfort, to bring inner healing. I thank you for the inner healing in the hearts, Lord, for even those things that happened even in childhood, Lord. We thank you, Father, for coming. Thank you for wrapping your arms around your sons and your daughters, grabbing hold of them and saying, my son and my daughter, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you with an everlasting love. I have given you everything. I love you. I pour my blessings upon you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the Father's love. Thank you for pouring a fresh love, a fresh love into our lives, oh God. A fresh love. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that our Father conception is a beautiful one. Thank you, Lord. We thank you.